This is Chris Sarnes, and if you've just tuned us in, our guest today is William Hughes, who is the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida. He is the pastor of someone who is the subject of our program today, Johnny Farese. Johnny Farese is actually a hero of mine, and I'm sure he is a modern-day hero of many, if not all, Reformed Baptists in particular who are familiar with him and his testimony. Johnny Farese operates what is likely the most extensive directory in the world featuring the information and contact and information for Reformed Baptist churches on every continent on the globe where they exist. And the one of the amazing things about this directory, this Reformed Baptist directory, is that Johnny Farese, who operates it, is quadriplegic. He has no use of his arms or legs, and he has not even had the ability to sit up in 10 years. Johnny could not conduct this program on his own today because he is incapable of conducting a live one-hour interview due to the fact that he is incapable of swallowing, and he has a suction machine that clears his throat quite frequently. So he was unable to do this interview on his own, but we are honored and delighted to have his pastor, William Hughes, of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida, provide the testimony for us. And in a minute, we're actually going to be hearing a pre-recorded message from Johnny Farese. But first of all, let me welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron for the very first time my old friend, Pastor Bill Hughes.
Hello, Chris. It's good to hear your voice again. I bring greetings to you and to your listeners from Johnny. He's very disappointed that he's not able to speak to anybody today. And I just see my role here this afternoon as being someone who's standing in for him. And I will endeavor to say what I think he would say if he were able.
Yes, and Pastor Bill and I go back many years. I believe I first met Pastor Bill in 1993 when he was visiting from Scotland. He was the pastor at the time of the South Glasgow Baptist Church in Scotland. And how long have you been here in the States pastoring at Emmanuel Baptist in Coconut Creek, Florida?
I've been here 7 years, Chris. Originally intended to come for three, but now in 7 years. And enjoying the ministry here.
Great. Well, before we return to Pastor Bill, who will be providing the testimony of Johnny Farese, Johnny Farese will give a portion of his testimony from his own voice, in his own voice, from a pre-recorded message. And here is our dear brother in Christ, Johnny Farese.
Personally, I find the doctrine of the sovereignty of God to be one of the most comforting and foundational teachings of all scripture, not only in regards to life in general or salvation, but as it relates to me personally and my sufferings. I was born into a family of seven. I have two brothers and four sisters. My older brother Bernie, myself, and the younger sister Tina were born with a severe crippling disease known as spinal muscular atrophy. The doctors informed my parents at birth that we probably would not live to see our eighth birthday. And true to their predictions, my sister died of complications with pneumonia that related to the disease at age four. But by the grace of God, both my brother Bernie and I had beaten the odds, and I turned 45 this past August, and my brother turned 47 just last week. And before the Lord was pleased to save my soul, I used to think that my disability was a stroke of bad luck. I used to think that it was something that God could heal, but for some reason chose not to. But basically, it was just a stroke of bad luck. But after I became saved and began to read the scriptures and learn about the character of God, I came to the realization that my disability was not an accident. It wasn't bad luck, but it was part of a perfect, particular design that God had for me as an individual. And I found that throughout all of Scripture, God taught that He is in sovereign control over all things, and He's intimately connected with each one of His creatures. We see that in the book of Ephesians, Paul says that we were chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the earth was laid. We see again where Paul refers to the birth of Jacob and Esau, that before they were even born, God loved Jacob, and He withheld His love from Esau. So even before conception, God was intimately involved in our lives as individuals. The psalmist goes on to teach that God had fearfully and wonderfully made him and had personally knit him together in his mother's womb. So here we see, even in the works of conception, that God is involved in our lives, that God has a purpose and a plan. And God's truth unfolds even more as we read the book of Acts, where Paul says, out of one blood, God made every nation of man. He actually created every man for one man and appointed the times and the places in which we should live and move and have our being. And His purpose for doing this was that we might seek Him and search Him out. God's desire was to reveal Himself to us intimately and personally. So what He does here is that He determines what time we would be born, what age, what year, what geographical location, and works all things together in order for us to have a circumstance which we might cry out to Him. I see how this relates to me in particular regarding my suffering. I'm a man that had a proud, rebellious, independent heart, and I believe that it took God to put me in a place of complete dependency in order to seek Him out and to look for Him and to cry out to Him. I think King David knew something of this because he says in Psalm 119 that it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So I think in David's experience, as well as my own, he saw how God used suffering and trials to cause him to depend upon God and not upon ourselves. And again, this is a wonderful comfort. I've often been asked if I'm bitter towards God for creating me with this disability, if I'm bitter towards God for not preventing it, for not providing physical healing. And my answer is undoubtedly, no, I'm not bitter at all. As a matter of fact, I embrace His decision to make me this way. And I thank Him for it, because I see all the good that has come from it. I see that I have intimately become acquainted with Him through suffering in ways that I might not know if I was healthy and more dependent upon myself. I also see how God has used my experience in suffering and the comfort that He has provided for me in the midst of that suffering to be able to counsel and give hope and comfort to others who are in life circumstances. And as a Christian, there's no greater privilege than to be used of God to bring comfort and to bring the gospel of salvation to someone else who is hurting or is suffering or is in darkness. And so this is a vehicle that God has chosen for me. How can I be bitter against that? The Apostle Paul talks in one of his letters to Timothy how he likens our service to God like a military campaign. That we're soldiers of Christ. And just like in the military, every soldier has his duties and his responsibilities. And if each one does their job well, the campaign will be successful. And I believe it that way in our Christian walk, that God calls each one of us to a different aspect of service. And I've been privileged and chosen by our commander, the Lord Jesus, to serve him in the area of suffering. It's also a great privilege to share in his sufferings, because Paul says that when we share in his sufferings, we'll also participate in his glorification. So, again, this doctrine is a tremendous comfort to me, and I'm thankful that this video series is being made to promote this doctrine, which is so important and so neglected in our day and age.
That was a summary of the testimony of Johnny Faris in his own words. And you can see, that's actually from a video clip. That is the audio from a video clip that you can see on Johnny's website, Faris.com, which is F as in Frank, A-R-E, S as in Sam, E.com. There are actually two audio, two video testimonies, one that you did not hear yet. Perhaps we'll play that some other time, from the Coral Ridge Hour, formerly hosted by the late D. James Kennedy. And in that video clip, you hear Johnny, in addition to his brother, his sister-in-law, and I believe his mother, have a part of that. The one that you just heard was Johnny on his own, primarily discussing how the sovereignty of God is what maintains a spirit of peace and joy in his heart, even amidst a awfully debilitating illness that he has. As I said earlier, Johnny, his brother and sister were born with this debilitating disease, paralyzed in both arms and legs. Johnny has been unable to sit up for over 10 years. His brother is still with us. Praise be to God. His sister died at a very young age, I believe before the age of 8. But you can read the more detailed testimony and see both video clips at Faris.com, F-A-R-E-S-E.com. We'll be repeating that later on. But we have with us today Johnny Faris's pastor, an old friend of mine, Pastor Bill Hughes, formerly of the South Glasgow Baptist Church in Scotland, but currently the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida. And Pastor Hughes, obviously, as I just mentioned, and as we all just heard from Johnny's own lips, the sovereignty of God plays an important role in keeping one steadfast in the faith throughout such an enormous trial, a trial that few of us have ever tasted, a trial of the enormity of what Johnny Faris is experiencing. If you could explain in summary for our listeners who are maybe unfamiliar with that term, the sovereignty of God, what do you and Johnny Faris mean by that?
Well, I'm trying to put myself in Johnny's position, and both I and Johnny would say that in the face of suffering of this kind, unless you hold to the sovereignty of God, that this is not just a matter of chance, that it didn't just happen, that there is plan and that there is purpose in suffering, then the world becomes very bleak indeed. Deuteronomy 29:29 speaks about the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. And part of the things that are revealed is that the God that we worship, the God in whom we live and have our being, is a God who knows everything that takes place. He knows all that will happen from the beginning. He is in control of everything. Nothing is just left to chance or circumstance. And that he foreordains everything that comes to pass. Now, the problem of suffering can bring either a power to curse or to bless the person that is suffering. And the important thing is the reaction of the person who is suffering. Two people can suffer the very same condition, but their lives can produce exactly the opposite results. One can be sweetened and refined and enriched, and the other person can be embittered and jaundiced and made sour, and they both have the same condition. And Johnny is able to look at his suffering and embrace it because he believes that it's all part of the plan of a sovereign God who knows what he's doing. And he would quote, I think, among other verses, Romans 8:28, that all things do work together for good to them that love God. And this is one of the all things that God takes and uses sovereignly. And it's part of the universal sovereignty of God that everything that happens, he embraces and uses to bring glory to his own name and good and blessing for his people. And what Paul is saying there is that God is working sovereignly and universally and benevolently. He works all things together for good for those that love him. So I think that basically in a nutshell is what Johnny would say, and I would agree with him.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to ask Jim in Jersey City, New Jersey, if you could, Jim, ask your question and hang up, and Pastor Bill Hughes will answer it after the station break.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
It's more of a comment on...
I'm fine, Jim.
I've seen Johnny on a word picture show on the subject of the sovereignty of God. It was called, I think it was the Sovereignty of God series that Mark Keeler had put out. And it was one of my first exposures to getting a look at what the true, you know, everybody says God is sovereign, but to get a true look at what sovereignty means when the Bible speaks of God being sovereign. And they had a, I'd say about a half hour clip within one of these series. It was a 16 hour long series. And it was very, very heart touching and very encouraging to see a man in Johnny's position to trust in the sovereignty of God, and to explain why in brief words, but very heart-moving experience watching him putting his trust in the Lord in the shape that he was in, laying on a bed, gasping for breaths to even say sentences. And what a joy it was to experience that and watch that, and I'm just... blessed that Johnny's was used in that series. It had a very moving experience in my own life, seeing him put his trust in the Lord, and gave me a good understanding of what sovereignty is in a hands-on aspect of sovereignty. In other words, this is just not this ethereal word floating up in the sky, but it has very practical applications when people do experience a true sovereign Lord and put their trust in a sovereign Lord like that. It's just things are not haphazardly happening to us, and God's in control, not the devil.
Well, I thank you for that, Jim, and keep listening and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron. We'll have Pastor Bill Hughes comment on your statement. I'm sure he's going to just say amen, but he may have something further to say.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
Thank you. And
okay, God bless.
God bless. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Pastor Bill Hughes regarding the testimony of Johnny Farese, our number is 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG. If you haven't already, please, during the station break, call your family, friends, and loved ones, especially if they are facing arduous trials in this life. They may be inspired and richly blessed by the story of Johnny Farese. 631-321-WNYG is our number. 631-321-WNYG. We'll be right back after these messages with Pastor Bill Hughes and the Johnny Farese story. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you've just tuned us in, our guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron is Pastor Bill Hughes of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida. And Pastor Hughes is giving the testimony of Johnny Farese. Johnny Farese, who was born in 1956, the second of Vincent and Joan Farese's seven children. Johnny's older brother, Bernie, was born with spinal muscular atrophy, a severely crippling disease that meant he was never able to walk. And so was Johnny Farese and a younger sister, Tina. In each case, the doctors told Johnny's parents that the child concerned would not live beyond its eighth birthday. Tina died of pneumonia when she was 4 years old, but thanks be to God, Johnny Farese and his brother Bernie are still with us. And we were just addressing our caller, Jim, in Jersey City, New Jersey, before the break. Pastor Hughes was addressing the blessings of acknowledging the sovereignty of God have been to him. Isn't it fascinating and puzzling, Pastor Hughes, that some people seek to find comfort in believing that God had nothing to do with their automobile crash or their disease or whatever kind of horrific tragedy is inflicted upon them and leaves them or a loved one either disabled or perhaps they are killed as a result of this? People run to an ideology that God was totally removed from this to find comfort. Isn't that strange?
Yes, it is. My wife and I were just listening to someone last week who was suffering from a very sad condition. And when asked, you know, what he thought about the future, he simply said, well, I keep my fingers crossed and hope for the best. Well, what a pathetic comfort that is. Here is a man, Johnny Farese, who has the condition that you've described, and he is saying that basically, among other things, that he believes that suffering empties us of pride and self-dependence and makes us realize our total dependence upon God. And it's through suffering that we can have a clearer view of who and what God is. And so here is a man, Johnny Farese, who says that he counts it a privilege to experience in some small way the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And the problem of suffering to those people who are looking on can be a great thing, but invariably with regard to people who believe in God and have a firm trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the problem is rarely a problem to those who are suffering. They know that all things do work together for good to them that love God, and they know that there is a purpose in it, and that God, by this means, is doing something in them, making them more and more into the image of Christ, and so that they become more Christ-like. That's a tremendous thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I know that you came to know Johnny when he was already a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, a believer in the sovereignty of God, but he was raised in a Roman Catholic home, and according to his testimony on his website, he quietly accepted the doctrines taught to him by his parents and the parish priest, especially the idea that a person got right with God by obeying the sacraments of the church. And at one stage, Johnny was told that if he recited 45 prayers from a particular Catholic prayer book every day for a whole year, he would escape the pains of purgatory and hell and be immediately accepted into heaven when he died. And he never missed a day, but had no assurance that his discipline would pay off. Now, obviously, that is probably not the experience of every Roman Catholic, and different priests may not give that same instruction and so forth. But there is an enslavement involved in any religion that demands man be on some sort of treadmill of works in order to continue pleasing God, or he would be either cast into hell when died through disobedience, or when he died, or into purgatory to receive punishment there for an undetermined period of time before entering heaven. Is this not an enslavement of false religion?
Yes, it is, and it brings about disappointment again and again. At that time, I think Johnny's mother, with the best will and the best intentions in the world, took him and his brother Bernie to Lourdes in France to seek healing from the Virgin Mary. And they came back home in the very same condition as they went. And that obviously brings about a great deal of disappointment and frustration. And when they probably question whether they had faith and whether they didn't have enough faith and so on. But the wonderful thing is that in the providence of God, he was brought into contact with a neighbor of his mother who had a Bible study in her home. And Johnny's mother agreed to attend the Bible study, and the lady who was organizing that Bible study suggested that her son, who was attending the Florida Bible College, might come and talk to them as a family about the Christian faith. And as a result of that, a Bible was brought into the home. Bernie, Johnny's brother, was converted to Christ and had a dramatic change in his life, a remarkable change, beginning to study and to pray and to go to church and even go to Bible college. And I think it was the changed life of his brother Bernie that had a tremendous impact on Johnny and set him really in this search for what is truth. Prior to coming to Christ himself, he went further and further into a life of sin and degradation, really. Despite his handicap,
mm-hmm.
he was still living a very sinful life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading that on his website. He actually was involved in gambling, drinking, marijuana abuse, weekly visits to strip clubs, and frequent engagements with call girls, trying to find a means of escape from the pain, loneliness, and emptiness. But none of that proved to work, and only the grace of God was the remedy that was able to give him peace, correct?
That's right. And the wonderful thing is that it is the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he began to read the Word of God. And when he was reading the Word of God day by day, the Holy Spirit was working in his heart and mind. And when he came to read the Sermon on the Mount, that was the catalyst. And God opened his eyes to the truth about his own sinful life, his own sinful nature, the ineffectiveness of religion to try and deal with that, and convinced him of his need to repent and to trust in Christ. And when he did that, he was immediately given an assurance that his sins had been forgiven and that he'd been regenerated and that he'd become a child of God. And that was a wonderful turning point in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, he was a changed man. And I have known him now for about 10 years.
Mm.
And I don't know of any other person that I have met where Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 4, that even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I see that exemplified in Johnny in a most wonderful way.
Amen. And in fact, if you'd like to join us on the air with a question regarding Johnny Farese, our number is 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG. And if it makes you feel more comfortable, you may remain anonymous. 631-321-WNYG. We'll be right back with Pastor Bill Hughes and the Johnny Farese story. Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron, New York's most controversial live call-in program, which has received glowing words of praise from such world-renowned individuals as John MacArthur, Ken Ham, and James White. If you're blessed by this broadcast, you have the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates, the premier sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron, largely to thank. I've known Dan Buttafuoco for over 20 years, and I know from personal experience that he is a man of honesty, integrity, and compassion, and is a dedicated servant of Jesus Christ and his church. If you are in need of legal counsel due to an accident, injury, or medical malpractice case, I strongly urge you to contact Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. His stellar reputation for achieving victory for God's people in legal battles is well-deserved, and I personally know individuals who have greatly benefited from his advocacy in the courtroom. Call Dan today at 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. I want to take this opportunity to thank Dan Buttafuoco and his law firm for making Iron Sharpens Iron possible. Buttafuoco and Associates, they help accident victims rebuild their lives.
Discover how affordable it can be to renew your kitchen with Sears. years. Choose from remodeling your entire kitchen or simply refacing your existing cabinets. Sears has a perfect solution for you and can give you a custom design look to match any budget. Count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. See for yourself. Call 1-800-206-8629 for a free in-home design consultation. Call right now to save $500 on the price of your new kitchen. Hurry, offer ends 8/31/2008. Installation provided by Sears Authorized License Contractors. License numbers available on request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Custom cabinet refacing and kitchen remodeling from Sears. Call now for your free in-home design consultation and to save $500. Call 1-800-206-8629. That's 1-800-206-8629. Sears, where it begins.
The spirit of New York.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sarnes, and if you've just tuned us in, today our guest is Pastor Bill Hughes of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida. And Pastor Bill Hughes is giving the testimony of one of the members of this congregation there in Florida, Johnny Farese, who is probably an unknown hero of the faith within the majority of Christendom today. But he is very well known amongst Reformed Baptists. Johnny is himself a Reformed Baptist, a Baptist that believes in what has been nicknamed Calvinism, the doctrines of sovereign grace, etc., Reformed theology. And he operates and maintains the what is likely the most extensive Reformed Baptist directory on the internet in the entire world, listing every congregation that he's aware of that is committed to the doctrines of grace all over the globe on every continent. And one of the two of the things I wanted to address in regard to Johnny's testimony, Pastor Hughes, are two things that I consider to be very, very evil. The first would be the Word of Faith movement, which would teach Christians that the reason they are not healed of all sorts of disabilities and diseases is that they lack the faith, they lack strength in their faith is inadequate, etc. And the other thing that I want you to comment on after that is the evil of abortion, how children are being murdered in their thousands every year within the womb of their parents, very often because they are told by their physicians that they will be born with debilitating illnesses such as the one that Johnny Farese and his brother cope with daily. But let's start with the Word of Faith movement. Pastor Bill Hughes, is it scriptural or is it a lie of Satan that if somebody has any kind of an illness, that as long as they request God or sometimes even demand a healing in the name of Christ, if their faith is what it should be, they will be healed with certainty? Is that a scripture or the lie of Satan?
No, I don't think you can find that view from scripture. In fact, I believe that you have the contrary view in scripture. We do believe that God is able to heal sickness and disease.
Yes.
And that he does. And he usually does it through ordinary means.
Mm-hmm.
He uses doctors, he uses surgeons, he uses medicine. There are times when there are remarkable healings, and some people would believe that they were miraculous healings.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere do we find in the Bible that we are commanded to ask God to, or to demand from God that we are healed. And there are numbers of people who were men of faith who were not healed, and the situation was not turned around. You only have to look at the story of Job to see how Job suffered and was given no explanation for his sufferings by God. We were given the explanations in the opening chapters, but Job wasn't given the explanations. Our Lord saw many people. He did not heal everybody that he met who was ill or sick. So I just feel that that kind of view creates a great deal of frustration and disappointment. The view that accepts the sovereignty of God and pursues the means that God exhorts us to pursue. He provides us with physicians and doctors and nurses and medicines and surgeons. I think we have to go that route, and God uses those means to bring about healing in some cases and not in others. On the matter of the abortion issue, Johnny himself would say that if he were born today, or the chances are that he would not be born today, that today he would be aborted, or his life would be taken from him by euthanasia. And that's the sad fact in so many places, that this is what's happening. And his whole philosophy of life is to demonstrate that somebody with his condition can lead a very, very useful and profitable life,
mm-hmm.
and be a very, very valuable member of society, which he is. I mean, this man is a very hard-working man who accomplishes a great deal in his life every day, although the only thing that he can move are his mouth and his eyes.
Mm-hmm. And it is very, a very twisted notion of logic that people believe it is merciful and kind to abort a child or let it die by disconnecting life support and so forth, just because they believe that that child will have a meaningless life, perhaps, in their minds, or perhaps they will suffer trials as a result of an illness. But as you just mentioned, it could be, nothing could be further from the truth in the result of Johnny Farese's debilitating illness. He is living a very fulfilled and very, very valuable life that has proven to be a ministry that many Christians across the globe find to be quite an invaluable ministry of immeasurable worth.
Yes, indeed. I mean, he is a very active member of this church, although he can no longer come to attend the corporate worship. But he is the one who keeps all the church members informed of what's going on in the church. He compiles and distributes our church directory. He has, as you say, this Reformed Baptist directory. He does a tremendous amount of work, not just in the internet and by distributing emails, but he's one of the most thoughtful members of the church. He knows that somebody is in need, he will phone them, he will arrange for help. I know from my own personal experience, if I go out of town, if I'm going over to Europe or somewhere like that, he always makes sure that he knows my flight number when I'm coming back and will arrange for somebody to meet me at the airport and
mm-hmm.
give me a ride home. Things like that. He's a very, very useful member of the body of Christ.
And I know... go ahead, I'm sorry.
And he's doing it all for the glory of God.
Amen. I know a lot of people are wondering how physically he is able to do this. What type of equipment through God's grace in providing modern technology, what type of things enable him to create websites?
Well, he has in his home, he's lying in his bed, and of course he can't move. There is a tube which is resting on his upper lip, and by means of puffing air into that tube, and depending on the length and the strength of the puff, that goes into a machine which can turn on the lights, he can control the air conditioning, he can answer the telephone, he has a headphone and can speak to people on the phone. He can then turn on his computer. The computer has a voice recognition program, and so he can do everything on the computer. He is able to have some kind of income by designing websites for people, both commercially and for churches. He's designed a number of websites. Our own website at Emmanuel Baptist Church, if you went to ebcfl.org, you would see the website that he's designed, and he maintains that.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely beautiful websites.
Yes, it is. And he does all that himself from the bed. He has an agreement with Amazon. If people purchase any books through Amazon and take his reference code, then he will get a small discount or amount for that. So he's really seeking to earn an income and make himself a profitable member of society. and he's doing a remarkable job at that.
And of course, for people whose disabilities are even more severe than Johnny's, I mean, it's hard to even imagine somebody's disability being more severe than Johnny's. But even if someone is in a state where they are incapable of earning an income, that would not, even in their case, that does not make them worthless or meaningless members of society.
No, not at all. Johnny conducts a Bible study group from his bed every couple of weeks. A group of people go, and he conducts and leads that Bible study group. I think we ought to mention that he resides with his younger brother, Paul, and his wife, Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And they have four children. And one of them has special needs, Joseph, and Kayla is Down syndrome. And Kayla is at the moment in Miami Children's Hospital. She had open-heart surgery the other day and is quite poorly. But the whole family is a remarkable testimony to the grace of God. And if ever anybody in our church is feeling sorry for themselves or feeling down, then they just go and visit the Faris family and they realize just how much they have to thank God for.
Mm-hmm. And out of the six living siblings, I know that Tina, as I read earlier from his testimony, died when she was four. But out of the six living siblings, are they all believers in Jesus Christ, or what are their spiritual
No, not all of them. Paul and Gina are believers.
Mm-hmm.
But not the others, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. And are Johnny's parents still with us?
Yes, they live right across the road from where he lives, and so they have constant contact with him, and so they see him on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can you add to what you've already said, Bill, about suffering and the sovereignty of God? There are many people listening who may be even growing to be bitter and angry toward God for some perpetual trial that they're experiencing. It might not even be something involving their own body or mind or income or what have you, but it may be a loved one of theirs that they are watching in excruciating pain and suffering. You know, sometimes Christians, very well-meaning, can offer platitudes and glibly spew out scripture verses and so forth. But when we minister to people like this, we have to be very, very careful to speak the truth in love, but at the same time, not act as if we know what they are experiencing, correct?
Yes, I think you're right. I think it's very important what you just said, that we are to speak the truth in love, and we are to seek to understand what these people are going through. There may be opportunities for you to open the Word of God with them and to read it and to pray with them. There are other things that you can use. I think it would be good. I think you did mention earlier that Johnny's testimony mm-hmm. does feature on the Coral Ridge website, I think, and also the series on the sovereignty of God produced by Cross TV, Mark Keeler. Those kind of things can be a very great help to show to people who are suffering. Books, I would recommend the book by John Flavel on the mystery of providence. There's a book by John Piper, When I Don't Desire God,
mm-hmm.
and How to Fight for Joy. That can be a great help. Or C.S. Lewis's The Problem of Pain. There are various things that you can use, means that you can use to help people. But I think basically to look at them not as a theological problem, but look at them as someone who needs Christ,
mm-hmm.
and whether they are healed from their condition or not, they still need Christ. And it's our responsibility to seek to minister Christ to them in a loving, caring, kind way.
Yes, in fact, I'd like to add two more recommendations. R.C. Sproul has a wonderful book, Surprised by Suffering. And also Jerry Bridges has a book called Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, are both
wonderful
books. But this is your...
And for anybody that's grappling with the whole problem of the sovereignty of God, I would recommend A.W. Pink on the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
It's a wonderful book in coming to understand that doctrine.
Yes, or order tapes by William Hughes. I happen to have had the privilege of hearing Pastor Bill preach on several occasions during a trip he had here, as I mentioned earlier, in the early 90s when he was formerly pastoring in Scotland and came here to the States to preach at several churches. And I was so richly blessed by hearing him preach, and I strongly urge you to get a hold of as many of his sermon tapes as possible. But we have to go to break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Pastor Bill Hughes regarding the testimony of Johnny Farese, a modern-day hero, our number is 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG, and you may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you a loved one, a friend, or someone you know at church going through a tough financial time because of an injury on the job? In need of wise counsel, bills piling up, seemingly nowhere to turn. What will you do? Where will you turn? You have a champion in Dan Bonifuco.
In my practice, we don't take money from our clients. We only work on a contingency fee, which means we don't get paid unless we win. No attorney should ever ask you for money for expenses, and yet I know that it's done in this business. We don't do it, but that's proof that we believe in the case.
Contact the law offices of Dan Bonifuco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Employers have a battery of lawyers to protect their interests. Dan Bonifuco will fight for your interests and won't charge you a dime until they've won the damages you deserve. Start by calling the law offices of Dan Bonifuco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Would you remain a Christian if your children lived under the risk of being kidnapped by Muslims every time they left home? This is a reality for parents in Bauchi State, northern Nigeria. Despite these challenges, believers remain courageous in their faith.
According to Compass Direct News, on May 12th, police rescued Mary Okoye and Uche Edward, two Christian girls kidnapped by Muslim extremists. The kidnappers initially took the girls to the house of a Muslim leader in the town of Wadil. Okoye's foster father and a group of believers heard where the girls were being held. When the parents arrived at the home, however, the girls had been relocated to the residence of another Muslim leader. The parents were told the girls had converted to Islam and could not be released. Later, the girls were rescued by the police and reunited with their families.
Learn what it means to serve the Lord in Nigeria and more than 40 other nations. Subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter at 875-VOICE. That's 875-VOICE. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
WNYT, the spirit of New York.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and this is our final segment of today's interview with Pastor Bill Hughes of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, Florida. He is the pastor of Johnny Farese, who has been the subject of our program today. Johnny Farese, who has a debilitating illness since birth, who cannot move his arms or legs or even sit up, cannot even swallow, but nonetheless, despite all of these challenges that he has in day-to-day life, he operates probably the most extensive Reformed Baptist directory on the internet, and also owns a company designing websites for ministries, churches, and businesses, and provides a great deal of service to the congregation there in Florida at Emmanuel Baptist Church, in addition to counseling people who are going through trials and so forth. Pastor Bill, do you know if Johnny, either prior to his salvation or even after it, ever contemplated suicide?
No, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that one, Chris. I really couldn't answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that, you know, whenever he gives his testimony, he quotes a number of psalms, and one of them is Psalm 66. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and let me tell you what he has done for me. And Johnny has written in his testimony that God has turned his mourning into laughter, his desolation into joy. He says, when I struggled to escape from his grace, he drew me to himself. I can bear witness, he says, that never a servant had such a master as I have, never brother such a kinsman, never spouse such a husband. No sinner ever had a better Savior than Jesus, and no mourner a better comforter. I want none beside him. In life he is my life, and in death he shall be the death of death. In poverty he is my riches, in sickness my health, in darkness my sun. Jesus is to me all grace and no wrath, all truth and no falsehood, and of truth and grace he is full, infinitely full. Well, that's certainly not the testimony of a man who is contemplating suicide.
Oh, of course not.
Not a man that is feeling sorry for himself either.
Mm-hmm.
He has embraced his condition, his situation, and he is seeking to live for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he has impacted so many people, a whole network of people who can look to him, phone him, ask questions, receive counsel if they have situations similar to his that they're dealing with. He is a very active member of the church. He listens in regularly every Lord's Day to the live streaming from our congregation. So he's very much a part of us. And everybody loves him so much, and we just feel that God has used him to impact so many lives in a positive way and to prevent so many of us feeling sorry for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of my favorite quotes of any Christian of history is a quote by J.C. Ryle, the great evangelical Anglican bishop of the 19th century. And he began his statement by quoting scripture. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with much grief. And then he continues, none have such an opportunity of learning the mind of a suffering Savior as suffering disciples. And Johnny said something similar in his own testimony, is that God has given him a unique opportunity to somehow learn about the sufferings of Christ that most of us may not ever come close to understanding.
Mm-hmm. He often quotes Psalm 119, verse 71 to 77. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes.
Mm.
That's a wonderful attitude to take.
Yes. And I want to thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for being a part of our program today and to be Johnny's voice, if you will, because he could not conduct such an interview. And I look forward to having you back on the program often on the Pastor's Roundtable and to interview you on other matters that are of great interest and importance to you, brother.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do it.
And I look forward to seeing you, hopefully, again in the near future. I hope that you come up here to the Northeast to conduct a Bible conference, and perhaps I'll come down there to Florida sometime to hear you preach again and also to meet Johnny Farese in person. I would love the honor and privilege of that.
I'm sure he would be delighted.
And how do our listeners contact you and the Emmanuel Baptist Church there in Coconut Creek, Florida?
Well, the church website is www.ebcfl.org.
That's,
and they can contact us through that website.
EBC for Emmanuel Baptist Church, FL, the...
Florida.
Yeah, for Florida.org. And Johnny Farese's website is farese.com. F-A-R-E-S-E.com. That's F as in Frank, A-R-E-S... F as in Frank, A-R-E-S-E.com, F-A-R-E-S as in Sam E.com. Please remember to keep praying.